Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. If you want to come to our next summit, go to tpusa.com/SAS. The Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida is coming up July 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. We will have Kayleigh McEnany there again, Donald Trump Jr., Mike Pompeo, Dan Bongino, Ted Cruz, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Rick Scott, Pete Hegseth, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Benny Johnson, Jesse Waters, Kat Timpf, Greg Gutfeld, Jack Posobiec, Congressman Byron Donalds, and many other amazing speakers. If you want to join us in Tampa, Florida, I will be there and I would love to see you. Go to tpusa.com/SAS. That's tpusa.com/SAS. We would love to see you in Tampa, Florida. Turning Point USA Student Action Summit for you and adult tickets are available in Tampa, Florida. It's the most amazing event of the year. Maybe you want to fly in and make a trip out of it. And I could tell you, for those of you that might have had a little trouble getting in last time in December, we'll have no such problems this time. tpusa.com/SAS. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Did you know that 80% of all grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? It's staggering, and it's a problem. You need to buy meat made in America, and that's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com. So look, I talked to Good Ranchers on the phone. I said, send me the box that you send our listeners. And I kid you not, I got a box that you wouldn't believe. This could feed the 101st Airborne. There is enough meat for July 4th, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's, and Tax Day. And I know you need to eat a lot on Tax Day because that's not a good day, and sometimes you got to eat. But my friends are Good Ranchers. They've traveled the entire United States and met with actual people, real farmers, not the corporate hacks. Look, Good Ranchers, they love their country. Unlike all these wokesters, and they sell you this fake vegan meat made in a laboratory with Bill Gates and underwater or whatever he's doing, this is real because their product is 100% American. When you buy steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. In fact, producer Connor, I went back to go into the freezer and all the meat was gone. It was gone. I said, what did you do? He said, it's Good Ranchers, goodranchers.com. I had to eat it. And he was right. Check out the Family Fest bundle. If you subscribe, you'll save 20% off at each purchase. So here's how it works. Imagine if you had like a Dollar Shave Club for meat. It's that simple. You get the meat delivered to your door and you don't have to go grocery shopping. No more lines, no more mystery meat, none of that stuff. So stop guessing. Support your country. Know where your meat comes from with goodranchers.com. Support American farmers. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie to get $20 off and free express shipping. It's 100% American beef, and it's goodranchers.com/Charlie. Ranchers with an S. It's a safe and convenient way to shop. You'll get a big box, and you'll be happy. I know a lot of you guys want to do cookouts this summer. Maybe it's beef, maybe it's steak, maybe it's pork, maybe it's chicken. Whatever it is, goodranchers.com/Charlie. Look, I'm going to guess, just a wild guess here. All of you listening are going to have to eat at some point. If you have to eat, you might as well buy from someone who helps the Charlie Kirk Show. So do that at goodranchers.com/Charlie, goodranchers.com/Charlie. I saw a segment last evening on Sean Hannity's program with a guy who is advocating for the counties of Eastern Oregon to secede from Oregon and become part of Idaho. With him was a friend of mine, Bill White, who is advocating that Buckhead County, which is a, not Buckhead County, but Buckhead, the city or the region of Atlanta, divest itself from the city of Atlanta. The story was written up in the New York Times about Idaho back on May 22nd. Political divisions in Oregon can be to a great degree measured by a river. The day shoots with winds its snaky, circuitous way through the state's midsection. Mike McCarter says, quote, those of us in rural Oregon are written off. The Greater Idaho movement that spurred the special election vote on Tuesday has been simmering for years, but it's picked up steam, as the New York Times says, amid growing political polarization that accompanied the November presidential election. Voters in two other counties, Union and Jefferson, voted last fall to address this question. And these counties have voted that they want to leave Oregon and be part of Idaho. We are seeing something that is happening in front of our very eyes, and most people are not mentioning it. Now, I'm about to diagnose this, but I'm not going to say whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing. This is simply and merely an observation. But it's very important as we ask ourselves, what kind of nation do we want to be? And are we going to be a nation much longer? We are living through slow motion secession. That is a hard thing to say. But in more ways than one, we are already seeing this question that I get asked all the time when I travel the country to churches, to Tea Party groups, to Republican dinners. People say, Charlie, are we going to have secession anytime soon? And I answer the question the best I can, because for good reason, that word secession brings back memories of the American Civil War. Abraham Lincoln argued that secession was not a constitutionally granted right. He called the South's declaration against the North, he said it was an insurrection. He did not say it was a secession. Abraham Lincoln wrote extensively, and he said this in his most famous speech outside of the Gettysburg Address, the Cooper Union speech, where he said the only way we are going to appease the South is if we no longer support the abolition of slavery. So for good reason, this term secession kind of stops people in their tracks. They don't like talking about it. And I don't either. I don't think this is a healthy thing. I think this is a negative thing. But instead, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I'm always going to tell you the truth, because this is not like anything we've seen in recent memory. People are already, in real time, divesting themselves from the attachment of the broader nation. We are heading for a collision course. Some would call it a national car crash. We are building, if you can even call it that, on fault lines. The fracturing is real. The cracks are emerging. And we are living through a separation. Thankfully, right now, it is mostly peaceful. In fact, it's entirely peaceful. We have people that are trying to use the constitutional process to either leave the state that they're in or enter a new state. So let me give you three examples that we're already living through this slow motion secession, that we're already dividing ourselves into mini countries, that we're already asking ourselves the question, what do I have in common with that guy from San Francisco? I don't like him. He doesn't like me. Are we even in the same country? Now, again, I want to reemphasize this. This is a very provocative topic. This is something that Americans don't like talking about. I am not saying this is a positive thing. In fact, I'm generally saying this is a negative thing. But I'm saying it's happening. And I'm not even saying that it's happening for people that want to sow division. I think it's happening because people want to preserve something that they can recognize or live in a place where their values and their ideas are not constantly under attack. As I mentioned, in Idaho, we are seeing this happen. Almost all of eastern Idaho wants to become part, all of eastern Oregon wants to become a part of Idaho. McCarter says, most of us in rural Oregon realize that whatever Portland or the Willamette Valley area wants, they get. Do we have freedom to vote, and who we want to govern us? That's the question. Tim Dye, a professor of economics at the University of Oregon, go Ducks. He says, these are really small places and tough places to make a living. Now, if you look at the map of eastern Oregon, I've been there many times. It's a completely different culture than what happens in Portland or Eugene or in Salem or in Corvallis. My father, my uncle, and my aunt all went to the University of Oregon, so I understand Oregon rather well. We're also very big Ducks fans in our family. But this fracturing that you're seeing in Oregon is just one of many examples. As I mentioned, this is happening in Buckhead, the Beverly Hills of Atlanta. They say, we do not want to be part of Atlanta anymore. We want to govern ourselves. This also has happened in Virginia. In Virginia, there are five counties that have petitioned and want to leave Virginia and become part of West Virginia. You might not have heard that story. And Governor Jim Justice from West Virginia will happily accept them. For decades, there have been rumblings of Texas that want to secede. But what if I told you that the slow motion secession is happening in a way that you might not realize? Did you know we're living through the greatest migration of states since Reconstruction? Since blacks left the American South and came to North in the 1870s, 1880s, and 1890s. Whether it be people going from California to Texas, from New York to Florida, from Illinois to Florida, this movement from one state to the other, which I know a lot of you have done yourselves, is a form that's playing into this broader idea and this movement of separation. Now, this word secession, where does it come from? Well, obviously, it comes from secede, or it comes from, I no longer want to have an official attachment. Now, let me reemphasize this point. Some libertarians disagree with this. Tom Woods, who I think is very smart, he had a big impact on how I view a lot of things. He's very libertarian. He says that there's a constitutional right of secession. Respectfully, Tom Woods, there is not a constitutional right of secession. The Founding Fathers did not articulate that, and the Founding Fathers did not enumerate that in the greatest political document ever. I think this is part of the strategy, though. I think part of the strategy of what we are seeing culturally and politically is they want to encourage these movements, especially from foreign adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party. They want to see America no longer be the United States of America, but instead 12, 15, 17, 20, 25 countries. And where this trend is heading right now, that's where we're going. We are heading towards, some would call it, a national divorce. And the question of divorce is, well, who gets to keep the kids and who gets to see them when? Because what's going to happen is then Tennessee and Kentucky might form their own coalition of states. The Dakotas might, a country, might form their own area. And if you think I'm being a little bit hyperbolic or alarmist, I'm only beginning the argument of telling you what we are living through right now, which is a generally negative thing. And then we are going to talk about solutions and a remedy of how we can pivot away from this. At its current trajectory, we are flirting with self-separating and dicing up the greatest nation and republic ever to exist. Hey guys, you guys have heard me talk with my friend Kelly Shackelford before. Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty is a good person. Look, we've talked about court packing. It's the tool of left-wing authoritarians. Hugo Chavez packed Venezuela's Supreme Court with his socialist cronies and paved the way for his tyrannical regime. But now Joe Biden and American socialist radicals want to pack our Supreme Court with four new liberal justices. Court packing isn't some policy idea to improve our courts. It's a coup. A coup to take away your constitutional freedoms and turn America into a socialist country. That's why First Liberty Institute, the largest legal organization in the nation dedicated to defending religious liberty in America, is doing something about it. First Liberty recently launched SupremeCoup.com. That's SupremeCoup.com to serve as a one-stop shop in the fight against court packing and help patriots like you learn the truth about what's happening in the courts. But more importantly, there's a big take action button so you could do something to stop the Supreme Court coup. So do me a favor, support Kelly Shackelford in this and get involved. If you want to defend our God-given freedoms and stop the left's court packing scheme, head over to SupremeCoup.com/Kirk. That's SupremeCoup.com/Kirk. SupremeCoup.com/Kirk. The Brooklyn Borough President, Eric Adams, he said, did he say this on Monday? When did he say this? I thought it was a while ago. Yeah, it says on Monday. I don't think it was. But this is the sentiment. So let me continue to prove this point to you. We have this growing resentment as we look on our fellow countrymen. We saw this when Hillary Clinton called flyover country deplorables. Obama called them clingers to their God, their guns, and their religion. And then it goes both ways, by the way. if you go to Missouri and Kentucky and Iowa, they do not like anyone that lives in Los Angeles or New York. When you go to Maine, I spend a lot of time in Maine. I'm going there very soon. It's very interesting. When you drive into one of these rural towns in Maine, they don't just look at you. They do the full 270-degree turn of the head. The full, you know what I'm talking about? The full scan. Like, who are you and why are you in my town? From the moment you get into one of these rural towns in Maine outside of the coastline, outside of Kennebunkport and Portland, all the kind of metropolitan ones, they know your name. They know where you're from. They know your background. And they track you. They know the moment you arrive and the moment you leave. It's kind of like going into an Indian reservation. They know everything about you. And so the resentment goes both ways. And maybe this is sustainable. I don't think this is. And again, I'm merely diagnosing this. When I landed in Los Angeles recently, I did not feel like I was entering into a nation that I shared values with. Every other billboard was glorifying transgender culture. Every 2 minutes is another weed shop or people on the side of the streets either defecating or doing something gross. And I think to myself, what attachment do I have here to Burbank or Van Nuys, California? And again, I'm not actually even praising myself. I'm not celebrating this. I want to just reemphasize this point. This is somewhat of a tragic realization. So I want to play this tape here of this Brooklyn Borough President, Eric Adams. He won the primary, got the most votes, right? But he's also in a runoff now. Listen to this. Do you think this is sustainable? Play cut 101.
You were here before Starbucks. You were here before others came and decided they wanted to be part of this city. Folks are not only hijacking your apartments and displacing your living arrangements, they've displaced your conversations and said the things that are important to you are no longer important. And they decide what's important and what's not important. Go back to Iowa. You go back to Ohio. New York City belongs to the people that was here and made New York City what it is. And I know I'm a New Yorker. I protected this city. I have a right to put my voice in how the city should run.
Now, partially I see what he's saying. I kind of respect this idea that don't invade our city and our culture and change it. But that kind of resentment of get out, get out, get out, that rift is growing. It is bubbling up with almost volcanic activity. You see this also in how many people in the legislatures in Kentucky and Tennessee and Iowa and the Dakotas and Montana are basically saying, if you're coming from out of state, we don't want you here. And so this is an unprecedented move. We have not seen this sort of resentment since the racial resentment in the Jim Crow era. And maybe part of this is anti-white resentment on behalf of this guy Adams, because he was saying this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I don't know. I do appreciate zeal for protecting a city from kind of being overrun. And we are getting a flood of emails at freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to read you one of these emails. We're exploring this idea, and it's just an observation of kind of a fracturing, a separation of things that are changing, of where people are divesting themselves from the attachment to their nation, their culture, and one another. Now, one of these emails here, let me find this. We've gotten so many at freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm trying to find the one that we just got here. Ah, here it is. It's from Steve. Charlie, what we are seeing is not secession. These individuals do not want to leave the United States of America. They believe in our country and our federal constitution. They simply want the change of local governance. If a region or a city can annex areas into its governance, why can't not citizens of an area reverse annex themselves into a different governance by majority vote? You're partially correct, Steve, but they're leaving parts of the country that don't believe in the country and the federal constitution. Is that they're trying to get into their own nation, but they're seceding or they're leaving or divesting or retreating or rejecting a state like California that has decided they do not want to be part of the federal republic. Or a state like Vermont. Did you guys hear about the breaking news with Vermont? I will be in Vermont this weekend, by the way. I will be in Williston, Vermont at Ignite Church. I'm sure we're going to get all sorts of fun protesters now that I've announced that publicly. It's right near Burlington, Vermont. I will be at Ignite Church. Well, in Vermont, they have now passed a measure that will allow illegal aliens to vote in local elections. Illegal aliens can now vote in local elections in Vermont. This has been the case already for quite some time in California. Now, how is that not undermining the compact or the contract that local officials have, I mean, that citizens have with their government? I think Vermont has a Republican governor. So this is so strange. Non-citizen legal residents that will now be able to vote in two cities in Vermont after the state narrowly overrode Governor Phil Scott's vetoes of two bills earlier this month. So Canadians can now vote in Vermont elections. The real question is, can Americans vote in Canadian elections? It's a question. Why are Canadians allowed to now vote in Vermont elections? Oh, you think that only illegals are from south of the border? No. So why do Germans get to now vote in Vermont local elections? Producer Andrew says you can't even travel to Canada right now. Well, it's partially true. So in Vermont, they have now passed this measure saying non-citizens can vote in local elections in two Vermont cities after, oh, the governor did veto it. Okay. The Republican governor did veto it and the legislature overturned it. So it's my kind of perplexed approach is now validated. I said, why would a Republican governor of Vermont allow illegals to vote? But the legislature overrode it. Governor Phil Scott vetoed it, and that's a good thing. And so the trend we are seeing is not sustainable. It's not sustainable in a variety of different ways. I want to play cut 102 that shows that this Oregon man on Sean Hannity says that he started a grassroots movement. His whole thing is to move Oregon's border. He says, I'm staying put, but move Idaho to my home. So I want you to play this out. If 20 or 30 of these movements start to happen, how far is it going to be? How big of a reach will it be? You'll say, you know what? I don't want to be governed by the FBI anymore. I don't want to be governed by the IRS. I don't want to be governed by a federal government and an administrative state that is able to investigate with total impunity my fellow countrymen or my own business or my own church or my own community. This trend is the most evident trend of national separation that we have seen since the 1860s. Play tape.
We are going county by county, 21 counties in rural Oregon, asking the citizens, do you want to start looking into changing the governance from Oregon to Idaho? This is a values issue, just like you're talking about in Atlanta. We're faith, family, freedom, liberty, down the blue line of protecting and enforcing laws, and we're just watching it go down the tubes.
Now, people are asking us at freedom@charliekirk.com, why is this happening? Well, let me play you a little bit of a tape to show you why this is happening. Get cut 97 ready. When people feel as if they are living through a nonstop, relentless cultural blitzkrieg, you should be able to understand with some sympathy, they say, I don't want to put up with this anymore. I'm paying a 13% tax rate and a $57,000 a year tuition to New York private schools to have my daughter learn that there are no men and no women, no differences, have them learn that America's a terrible country, have them learn that they should hate themselves and hate their friends. I'm done. And if the other side wants to double down on this, if the other side believes that you can have a nation without history, language, and culture of commonality, there is only one way they can implement that. There's only one solution to all of this for the left, and I'm going to tell you what that is, but I want you to play this tape of Michael Eric Dyson. This guy's a professor. He's a very nasty person. He is. Every time he's on television, he talks very quickly with unnecessarily big words to make himself seem smart where he has no wisdom at all whatsoever. And he's also a very angry person. Play tape.
And speaking about, you know, the maggots, the MAGA, that is so corrosive in this, you know, political moment. And we have stood by to see mediocre, mealy-mouthed, snowflake white men who are incapable of taking critique, who are willing to dole out infamous repudiations of the humanity of the other, And yet they call us snowflakes, and they are the biggest flakes of snow to hit the earth. They are incapable of criticism. They are incapable of tolerating difference. They're scared of, oh my God, critical race theory is going to kill your mother. And they don't even know. They're not critical. They have no race, and they don't understand theory.
And if you can't see that, that's on MSNBC. The anchor and the fellow guest are chuckling and smirking and laughing. And so, if a white Christian who lives in rural Massachusetts in Worcester, Massachusetts, hears this every single day, they're going to say, I'm done. Like, have a nice life, Massachusetts. I'm going to Florida. And you're seeing that happen at great, at an incredible speed. And so what you just heard there from Michael Eric Dyson, that sort of cockiness, that sort of repudiation of his fellow countrymen, the lack of sympathy or understanding where they're coming from, the obvious question is, how does the left think they're going to govern this country? And the answer is very clear. They think they're going to govern the country in a totalitarian nature. You cannot govern a country that's a republic, that's representative, with checks and balances, with that sort of attitude, unless you decide to be an autocrat. That's the only way this ends up working. If you're willing to use force to then shut up the other side, to restrict dissent, to mock the other political party, then that's the only way that you can then be in power. This is happening in a way that it's even fracturing family relationships. And so the slow motion secession that we're living through is not just states. I'm sure a lot of you right now have lost some of your dearest and closest friends to this sort of cultural fault line. I'm sure you've lost family members. I want you to imagine how dark and craven you must be if your brother is a member of Congress with politics that you don't share, and then you decide to go cut an advertisement against him publicly, not doing this privately, not keeping your own opinions to yourself. Instead, deciding to cut a television advertisement on the public airwaves. Do you think this ever would have happened in 1950s America, where your own siblings of a large family would have come out against you to try to destroy your livelihood? This sort of state-based secession that we're seeing, it starts at the family dinner table. It starts at your Easter, Thanksgiving celebrations, your July 4th celebrations, your Christmas celebrations. And I'm sure a lot of you listening here have family members you're not talking to anymore. You have family members where it has fractured you completely and you say, have a nice life. I hope I never talk to you again. I know for me that's happened. There are family members that hate my guts to such a deep degree. They almost consider us to be dead. That is not sustainable. And that's not a good thing, by the way. Play cut 104 of six of Representatives Paul Gosar's siblings have endorsed his opponent. We have gotten to a point where this is happening so dramatically that you have siblings that are actively involved in the career destruction of their own bloodline. Play cut 104.
My name is Tim Gosar.
David Gosar.
Grace Gosar.
Joan Gosar.
Gaston Gosar.
Jennifer Gosar.
Paul Gosar is my brother.
My brother.
And I endorse Dr. Brill.
Dr. Brill.
Wholeheartedly endorse Dr. David Brill for Congress.
I'm Dr. David Brill, and I approve this message.
So I don't know who that clown is, but he is not going to win anytime soon in rural Arizona. But I want you to imagine for his siblings how dark of a place they must be in. They're the secessionists. And that's the point I want to make, is that you're seeing people that are moving and divesting. The true secessionists are the people that want to give more power to the administrative state. The true secessionists are the people like Merrick Garland who are declaring war on our cultural values. And so you're seeing this happen as people are divesting and detaching themselves from the connective tissue of the nation. This collision course that we're about to see very well could make our flag look different. We may no longer have 50 stars on that flag. It'll just be something completely unrecognizable. A nation is defined by having a shared history. We now question that. 1619 Project, versus American history. Culture, we're questioning that. And language, more Spanish speakers than English speakers in California. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer or her computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money and that you can then use for other important things like mortgages or food. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more? RockAuto.com is a terrific company. They've been long-term partners here on this program and this podcast. RockAuto.com is a family business, and they love their country, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Look, when I walk into an auto shop, they might as well speak Swahili. I understand none of it. But RockAuto.com is easy, it's seamless, it's understandable. So go to RockAuto.com and pick out all your parts and write Charlie Kirk in the How Did You Hear About Us. Maybe you need a new Johnson rod. Maybe you need a new thing that I don't know anything about cars, so maybe you need that thing. Then go to RockAuto.com and type in Charlie Kirk to How You Heard Us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, great people, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. A friend of mine in Chicago says, Charlie, your hour really resonates with me. We're getting a lot of positive feedback on this idea of slow motion secession. This week is somewhat of a slow news week. And what makes our program always different, by the way, is we try to go a level deeper and tell you the truth of what's happening than what we can do about it. He says, speaking for myself, one of my liberal friends obviously are more personal in their judgment of me. The left tends to be more arrogant and self-righteous. This was one of our first conversations respecting the free will of others. And so then he goes back to say this. He says, his friend says, hey, we can hang out as soon as you'll get vaccinated and you renounce Trump. So he's not going to be hanging out anytime soon. We got this question. And it's almost this idea of micro secessions that are happening all over. These micro secessions of families splintering, of friendships fracturing, of small groups disappearing, of gatherings canceling, that then just manifests itself on the national level. We got this question. Hey, Charlie, love your show and everything you stand for. You're a huge inspiration to me. What do you have to say about this idea of how much longer we have to put up with this? Let me make sure I get this wording right. Here's the one. Charlie, love the show. I see what you're doing and what you're saying about the slow secession. It honestly reminds me of an abusive relationship. It starts as an emotional relationship or abuse on American ideas and quickly moved to the physical abuse to the point of citizens being murdered until everyone identifies as American, not states and men. This process will continue. Until people choose free thinking over brainwashing, they will be deceived. My question is, how long do you stay in this abusive relationship? How does this marriage of 50 states fight to be united? And you just said the operative word. Things that matter must be fought for. This is not going to save itself by just a bunch of spectators and commentary and hoping for return. There's going to have to be some contention here. And we are in the right. Deep down, a majority of Americans want to remain American. They don't want to have two Independence Days over the summer, which again plays into this entire narrative. They don't want to have a different reading of history that misinterprets the moral aims and goals and purpose of our founders, but it's going to take you taking terrain. You will lose what you love if we don't play offense clearly and courageously. Have you left a state for another and you wish you could still be in your home? I've said this many times. I wish I could live in Illinois. It's not possible. It's too expensive. They don't want me. They don't share my values. At every turn, they have a marijuana dispensary. It's not going to happen. And so you just retreat to another place. It isn't until we commit ourselves to what we believe and why we believe it, and we build coalitions and we organize, is it actually going to be possible to be remedied. And then finally, our leaders, most specifically our governors and our state legislatures, they need to pass pieces of public policy that use political power in the aim and the goal of getting people to have unity, to try to mend these divisions. That means curriculum that focuses on true history. That means some form of national service, potentially, where people are actually focused on the beauty and the soul of who we are, not the melanin content. Do you see all of a sudden how critical race theory and quote-unquote wokeism plays into this entire idea of slow-motion secession? It all plays together. It plays together because if we do not have at least something that the gay activist in San Francisco has in common with the Baptist preacher in Oklahoma, the country's done. Then all of a sudden, it's just a matter of time. But outside of a unified currency, which, by the way, is also under massive indictment with the success of Bitcoin and crypto, what does the gay activist in San Francisco have in common with the Baptist preacher? You know what it used to be? It used to be in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, because our leaders were a little bit more responsible. They used to at least want the same sort of nation. They wanted a republic, a representative system, an independent judiciary, consent to the governed. So I'm merely observing this. And some people are applauding Eastern Oregon that wants to go into Idaho. Generally, I think that's great. Some people are applauding Western Virginia to want to become part of West Virginia. Some people think it's great that Buckhead no longer wants to be part of Atlanta. But those are precursors. Those are canary in a coal mine. Those are harbingers of things to come, of what you have all seen happen with your family at Thanksgiving. A slow motion secession. It is not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing. It must be reversed. But in order to reverse something, you must diagnose it and identify it. I want to live in a beautiful and complete union. I don't want to all of a sudden see America chopped up into 30 other parts. We must be the unionists, and they are the secessionists. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.